Let's pray, everyone. Father God, we delight to come before you and to be in your presence, Almighty God. You are sovereign over all the universe, Lord, over our lives, over every star, over every blade of grass, O Lord God. We, your people, sit surrendered to you this morning, waiting to hear from you, waiting to encounter you and be with you, O God. Lord, we ask that you would speak through your word to us this morning. We ask, O Father, in this passage that you would help us to understand what you are saying to us and allow your word to affect us, to seep into our souls and our heads and our hearts, O Lord God. That you would encourage us and strengthen us in our faith in you this morning, O God. And we ask this through the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, as we continue on in the book of 1 John here, there's the section this morning at the end of chapter 3. There's a little bit of a pause almost. I think John is being a wonderful pastor, shepherd here, as he's realizing some of what he has said, which he's been saying, which he means and is designed and is there to encourage us about knowing that we are born again. He realizes that there's a possibility that we could take it the other way and it could act as a discouragement in some ways. So at the end of the last section here, off through of verse 18, he says, "Little children," this is last week, "let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." He's saying, how do we know that we are born of God, that we obey God? That our fruit reflects the inner heart. So here's the question, though. What if we're not obeying? What if we're struggling to obey? He gave as the pinnacle of obedience, loving one another. Well, what if I'm having a hard time loving someone or anyone? Maybe there's one person in particular that just really having a hard time acting in love and feeling love and responding in love towards. What about that situation? Does that then mean that I am not born again, that I am not saved, that I'm not a Christian? I believe in this passage we'll look at this morning, John is very much aware that that could be the question that comes up in our minds as we read through what he has written so far about love and obedience, about what it means and how we can tell what the marks of a believer are, what the evidences of a life transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I think in this passage, we'll look at, and there'll be two kind of categories that he'll look at and help us to raise the question, what if we don't find ourselves lining up perfectly with God's Word? Well, turn with me, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. This morning, we'll be studying verses 19 to 24. 1 John, chapter 3, verses 19 to 24. "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is God's word. He said, we know we are Christians by our love. Well, what if we struggle with love? What if we struggle in our hearts and struggle with our actions? We want to be confident, and John wants us, and God wants us to be confident in our salvation. Not arrogant, not presuming upon God, but he wants us to know we are born again. But what if, we may ask the Lord, what if, and the first, but what if, in our passage this morning is, Lord, but what if our hearts condemn us? In verses 19 to 21, what if our hearts condemn us? What if in our hearts we don't feel that sense of love towards one another? What if we know deep in our hearts that we're not obeying the commandments of God, at least that we're struggling with? Maybe there's one area of sin. For many of us, there's one particular sin that we wrestle with for a very long time, possibly even our whole lives. Maybe there are many sins that you're wrestling with, and no matter how hard you're trying to walk in obedience to Christ, you can't find victory and overcome the sinfulness, the acting in sin, the desires of your heart. You know you want to be for Christ. You love Jesus, and yet those affections, when you get honest with yourself, are not always there. That sometimes you have more affections for the things of this world than we do for Christ himself. What can we say about our salvation when our hearts condemn us? When we really come face to face with the reality of the depravity of our hearts. This is a question that has been asked throughout the history of the church. The great saints of old have wrestled with this. There's a sense that as one grows closer to Christ, one is more aware of the depravity in our own hearts. John has said this in this letter already. If we say we are without sin, then we lie. And the truth is not in us. Because we all are going to sin and fall short of the glory of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 7 about his wrestling with this. He says, he as a Christian says, I do not do the things I want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. Sorry, I got that wrong. I do not do the things I want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. That's what it is. And he cries out, he's like, what a wretched man am I? He's really wrestling with the sin that is within him, within his heart. Maybe we find that too. Lord, I know that I'm supposed to love, but every time I think about others, I just have nothing. Or whenever I think about this one particular person, I just can't forgive them for what they've done. And I can't manufacture, I can't fake it. That's not what the Lord wants in us. When we look deep in our hearts and hold the Word of God up against our hearts, what if our hearts condemn us? Show that we are not truly loving as the Lord has called us to and commands us to and says is an evidence of the Spirit of God at work in our lives. Well, this is what he addresses in verses 19 through 21. He's saying by this, what he's about to say, it's not referring back to 18, it's referring to what he's about to say. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. So there's two reassurances given here when our hearts condemn us. The first thing is that God is greater than our heart. Even if our heart truly does condemn us, God is larger even than us, than our ability to have our hearts transformed and to walk and to experience the heart transformation. God is greater than even that. God is not limited by our hearts. God is not working in some kind of quid pro quo where He will only give you assurances if you prove that your heart is really pure. He's much larger than that. And that ties right in with the second reassurance as they work together here and says, what do we do if our hearts condemn us? He says, here's the reassurance. God knows everything. Now, that's a tricky one. That can be a source of fear for us, right? Boy, you know, I've got most of the people around me fooled about what goes on in my heart. I clean up nicely. Put on the smile. Talk about God, and people don't have to know what's going on in my heart. But God knows everything. God knows what goes on in my heart. In fact, God knows me way better than I know myself. I know this may sound very strange to us, but I firmly believe that most of us don't know ourselves very well. We think we have an idea of who we are, but we really don't understand why we respond in certain ways, what is going on inside our heart, what is going on inside of our minds, why we are the way we are. It's a wonderful thing when you are in a very close, intimate relationship. Maybe it's a marriage relationship. Maybe it's a very, very deep friendship. When other people can see things and truths about you that you can't see about yourself very well. Because we don't know each other very... we don't know ourselves very well. God knows everything. He knows why I respond to criticism with such anger. He knows why I have these flashes of embarrassment whenever someone calls something out or brings attention to me. God knows what goes on in our hearts. And He knows when I don't love someone. He knows when I won't forgive someone. So that phrase, that statement that God knows everything can be scary. We stand naked before God, exposed completely, nothing hidden. God knows everything, our thoughts, our motives, our actions. And He's not fooled by us. Can't pull one over on God. And that can be scary. To be known so well can be scary. But the flip side of that is also true. God knows everything is a blessing and a source of great peace to us. Many of us, and this has been said to be a particularly male characteristic. I can only speak from that perspective, necessarily, but many of us, and maybe you as women experience this also, live in an unspoken fear. It's in the way back of our mind. It doesn't come to the front very much, but an unspoken and a subconscious fear that we will be found out to be a fake. That people will someday, or someone will discover that we're really faking it in life, whether it's in your job, in your school, in your relationships. And there's a fear of being known. And you fear, if my spouse really knows what goes on in my heart, or if my coworkers really know, or if my friends really know, or if my neighbor really knows what goes on in my heart, if people in our church really know, were to know what really goes on in my heart, they wouldn't like me anymore. They wouldn't want to be with me. They'd be angry, they'd turn away, they'd walk away from me, and I would be dealing with massive consequences in those broken relationships. And there's a fear of being found out. God has already found us out. God knows everything. He has found everything within. He knows everything. And He loves you. Knowing everything, He loves you. Knowing the challenges, the condemnation in your own heart, He still loves us. He overcomes. He is greater than our heart. And He overcomes all that within us and still loves us. And so when He's calling us to love one another and to obey Him as evidence that we are born again, He also knows our sinfulness. He also knows the struggles that go on within us and within our hearts. He knows and says, I love you. You're my child. You're not going to walk along one day and God's going to go, wait, what? That's what's going on in your heart? Get out of here. It's never going to happen. In fact, things you don't even know about, the depths of depravity that we're going to experience down the road, God knows about and still says, I love you. But what if my heart condemns me? God knows. God knows everything. God knows you, and He loves you, and He chooses you, and He adopts you, and calls you His daughters, His sons, His children, forever. Knowing everything about you. He doesn't have to do a background check. He doesn't have to go and ask your neighbors. He doesn't have to look through your emails and your Facebook posts to see what you're really like. He knows. He knows everything. Not that you can really tell the inside a person by our Facebook posts, right? It's sort of the opposite. It's like the biggest cover of all. Right? God knows everything. Be at peace. Take comfort that you are fully known and, being fully known, fully loved. But what if our hearts condemn us? Well, second and final in this passage, John raises the question, but what if our obedience is lacking? So one is the inner workings of our heart, the inner parts of our soul. Now, what if our actions betray that we are not following Christ, that we are truly wrestling with our sinful actions, verses 22 through 24. Back up to verse 21 for a second here. Sorry. Because I think verse 21 at first can be confusing. This is back in if our hearts condemn us. He then says, God knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. That's not saying, well, there's some of you whose hearts do betray or do condemn you, and some who don't. He's saying, the heart betrays you, God knows everything, so you're okay. Therefore, our hearts don't condemn us. They don't need to condemn us, is what verse 21 is saying here. And so we have confidence before God. Because when we go before God, we don't say, God, look at my clean heart. Look at how good I am. Look at how holy I am. We go before Him and say, Jesus, God, look at Jesus, please. Don't look at my heart. Look at Jesus' heart. That's the substitute. My heart is not pure. God says, yeah, I know. That's why I give you Jesus' heart. That's why Jesus washes away your sins and His imputed righteousness, Jesus' righteousness is put upon us. So when God looks at us, He's not seeing our righteous acts, He's seeing Jesus' righteous acts. Number two, but what if our obedience is lacking? Verse 22 through 24 says, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is what Jesus has said, that whatever we ask of the Lord, we ask according to His will, and God answers. Now, God is not an indulgent Father. Even we as human parents know that we don't give in to every whim of our children, that that will make them spoiled. We don't give in to when they ask us for something that will hurt them, even if they don't know it will hurt them. Our loving response is no. Often the child won't understand that. And oftentimes we don't understand our requests, our prayers before God. We don't understand what it really means. And God sometimes will say no, not in rejecting us, of course, but because He loves us. He reminds us again then of what His commandment is, what our actions are to be, what are the obedience that we are discussing right now, that what if it's lacking. Verse 23, and this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He has commanded. What sums up all the commandments, all the law and the prophets? What if I'm struggling with lying? What if I'm struggling with coveting? What if I'm having trouble with my tongue and I keep saying sharp, hurtful things to people and I don't even realize it? What if I'm really trying to be kind and obedient to my parents, but I'm just so frustrated and mad I keep failing to do that? What if I'm trying to be gentle and kind with my children and not exasperate them, but all the junk just keeps coming out of me and I keep failing at that? What do I do then, oh God, if my actions are not obedient to You? Remember, this is important because He said, to know we love Him, we follow His commandments. What if I'm not following His commandments? Does that mean I don't love God? It's a question worth asking at first. But here's what He says. What is the commandment? What is the commandment that God says to follow? Jesus says this too in the book of John. Love Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Verse 23 again. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. The commandment, we don't follow the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. Walking in obedience means we believe in Jesus Christ. It's faith. It's faith. Walking in obedience is faith in Jesus Christ. And from that comes out the growing in love towards one another. Not perfectly, as we've just seen, but ever growing because of Christ working within us. But what if I'm not obedient? God knows. And here is the command, here is the call to obedience. Believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Because it is the one, according to verse 24, who keeps His commandments of believe. His commandment is believe. whoever keeps his commandments, or whoever believes, abides in God, and God in him. And here's how we know it. Here's the reassurance again. By this we know that he abides in us. And he's been saying, we know that he abides in us. We know that we are born again when we obey his commands. Now he says, by this we know that he abides in us, the Spirit, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Because he gives us the Holy Spirit when we believe. And in believing, we are born again. And so the Spirit's activity within us is evidence. Our believing, sometimes with holding on with bloody fingernails to believing in God, is obeying his command, is the evidence. There are times when our hearts are going to betray us. There are times when our actions are not going to be in line with the call of God upon our lives. And I'm not excusing that. Neither is God. He's not saying it's no big deal. He's saying, I know it. I know your heart. I know your actions and your deeds. And I love you. And that's why Jesus came and died for you. And in him knowing, there's a call for us to come back to him, to trust him even more, to hope in him even more, to rely upon his grace working in us, not trying to do it on our own, not trying to manufacture obedience. Obedience comes from faith, not the other way around. God knows everything. He calls us to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and through Jesus, through believing, through faith, we act in love. We looked last week at how throughout the New Testament, those two are connected, faith and love, faith and love, faith and love. Brothers and sisters, God has poured out his Spirit upon you when you believe in Jesus Christ. He has. There's nothing you can do about it. If you believe in Jesus Christ, your heart will wax and wane. Our behaviors will struggle with our obedience, and Jesus knows that. And continues to love us and continues to call us to greater obedience day by day. When we are born again, God places his Holy Spirit within us. And his promise, one example of it from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is, Paul says, I am sure of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you when you were born again, will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. That when we believe in Christ, whenever that was, however that came about in your life, Jesus began a good work in you, placing his Spirit in you. And he will promise from the Scripture, from God. He will bring that work that he began of sanctifying you, of making you like Christ in holiness, of bringing you to heaven. He will complete that work, not based on your faithfulness, but on the faithfulness of Jesus. That's faithful. God is faithful to his promise, which means he is faithful to us. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we wrestle with our sinfulness, the sinfulness in our hearts and minds, the sinfulness in our and our behaviors and actions, O Lord God. That you would do the work of purifying us, of cleansing us from all unrighteousness by Christ, by the work of Christ in our life, by your Holy Spirit working and bringing us and leading us into all truth and holiness, Lord. And I pray as you continue that process between now and when either you come again or we go to be with you, Lord, that you would help us, O Lord God, not to be discouraged, not to abandon our seeking of you and walking in you. Pray that our hearts would not be troubled, O Lord God. We would not lose faith and be discouraged, that you would lift us up even in the midst of our failing, turning our hearts back to you, O Lord God, in repentance, and strengthening us to walk anew in you again and again. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.